Hi there folks, Paul here signing in for another video. Welcome, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. Now, in this video, we're going to continue on and start a new teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, there are five incredible teachings in the book of Matthew. I think perhaps over this next year, time allowing, we'll get to all of them one by one. But let's kick off with the first, the best, maybe the most beautiful. Oh boy, there is so much in here. And we have started Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes through our local men's group. I won't be going back over that. Those videos will be posted once they become available. We're going to go through these different things. And I want you to keep in mind a couple of things as we go through them. So forgive me if I repeat myself from time to time. These are key important issues. Things that if you're taking notes, take a note. It's worthwhile. We need to look at our kingdom role, our ambassadorial role as Christians in this world. Now, Scripture says that we are ambassadors of Christ. Scripture says that this is not our home, but we are still part of it. We are still in it for this time. Now that we are born again, that we are reconciled with Christ, adopted into His family, we are, well, He adopted us, not that we adopted Him. We are to become ambassadors for Him, for His family. And that's what I mean when I talk about our kingdom role. So as we go through each of these different things, I want you just to keep that, if you could, in the back of your mind and take notes and look for opportunities. How do we apply these things in our daily lives? And I've got some questions here, and I'm going to ask those questions as we go. Not to challenge you, but to provoke, I hope, pausing, food for thought, to take those moments of reflection at the end of every day. And remember, as I said, we have now been adopted into His family. And when you get adopted into a family, the child is to, well, become a part of that family. Doesn't matter where they came from, they adopt the behaviors, the beliefs, the standards of their new family. So it is for us in Christ. And so let's have a look here. This next section of teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, this talks to this and speaks to this very clearly of who we are to be. And we're looking at that role that we have in the world through these sort of analogies or metaphors, as you would, in kingdom living. So verse 13, Matthew 5, I think I'll just read through them, then we'll come back and we'll go through some notes. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, it cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but instead on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There is so much in there. And we're going to unpack it just briefly with three points. Three ways that we are called to be salt and light as Christians in this world. In this world of murkiness. In this world of darkness. How can we live in this world and apply these principles? That's what we're going to look at today. But going through them quickly, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how can it be seasoned? It's good for not just putting, you know, underfoot. Now, in this period of time, salt had many different uses, primarily for preserving of food, also for enhancement of flavor for food. We still do that now, don't we? And if you're really lucky, and it's a bad joke, I know, but I'm going to throw it in there. If you're really lucky, when you get that Himalayan salt, which is 2,000 years old, and you get to use it before its expiry date, oh, that stuff tastes great. I know, it's a dad joke. What can I say? But here, in this time, salt also had other uses. And Jesus says here, if it loses its flavor, we can't re-season it. Once salt is unsalty, we can't salt it again. And it's just good then for throwing out on the pathways for people to walk over. Or on the dunghill we see from other sections of Scripture. And it's used then to help just break down that matter. many different purposes, but its two most beautiful, enhancement and flavor. Here's the thing. As Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ, the people who are listening to this teaching, we are to also look at how can we preserve Christ in our community? How can we be that sort of preserving influence on others to give flavor in that darkness or murkiness or disgustingness? It's not really a good word, but you know what I'm talking about. This world, moral decay, it's falling apart. Look at what's happening and everything that's happening out there to what was once, and I'm talking about the Western world here, the goodness of society is breaking down. So we need to show Christ in the society, in our daily lives. And this isn't just about maintaining the status quo. It's about actively walking and stepping into opportunities where we can be Christ for others. That's what I'm talking about. And we'll cover this more in just one moment, the light on the hill and so on. But give thought to that. There is, it may have been Winston Churchill, I'm sorry, I don't remember who actually made the quote. But the only thing which is required for evil to win or evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. Now that is a very natural way of looking at it. There are two things that we can gain from this. And I want you to see, and if you're taking notes, jot this down. Heavenly things and earthly things. It is good that we be good people. But we need to be more than that. As you'll see from these scriptures, we need to be the kind of person, heavenly people, that God can be glorified. Because there are many good people out there who are not believers. So we need to ask the question, how can we preserve Christ? Now, an example that comes to mind is the story of Joseph, Genesis, around Genesis 38, 39, 40, 41, perhaps. Somewhere there, Joseph gets tossed into a pit by his brothers. Time to get a new family. I can imagine there was fear. He was sold into slavery. There would have been worry, anxiety. What is going on, God? Why is this happening? I can't imagine myself that kind of fear, but I will do my best. But what I know from Scripture is that despite the fear, despite the worry, despite what the world was throwing, and he got then brought into this culture in Egypt, so vastly different from the one from which he came with God at the center, though you certainly wouldn't think so by the actions of his brothers. But God was at the center for him. And we know from Scripture, and we go, if you read through the story, and if you haven't, please do. And pause and take moments as you go through and think, there's a God moment. Because he was faithful to God and therefore found favor. He showed through his actions, through his mannerism, through his trustworthiness that he was different. And he found favor with Potiphar, the master. So I think, yes, Potiphar first, captain of the guard. Then through trial and deception, thrown into prison, not of his own fault or accord, but instead, I love that scripture, all things work to good for those who love Christ Jesus, who are called according to his purpose. There's more to it, but that's the essential basics. And for Joseph, though these bad things kept happening, he remained faithful to God and was again lifted up, the jailer, through the interpretation of dreams. And then eventually, a few years later, before Pharaoh. So what's the point of this? He shone God through him, through his actions, through his mannerisms, through the way in which he lived. And then when asked, he said, God. Candy and I have a saying, and it's very simply this. Yes, but God. You may have heard the variation of that there. But for the grace of God go I. The man with no feet, looking at the rich man with shoes, busy, stressed, worried. Oh, there, but for the grace of God go I. The rich man looking down at the poor beggar. Oh, there, but for the grace of God go I. It's a matter of perspective. And Joseph had this kingdom perspective. And God raised him up and through him then was able to save, through the famine, the line of Israel, of course, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, and Jesus. All part of God's plan. It worked together for good, though there was trial involved. So when I say that we need to actively pursue showing this, this is not getting involved in arguments. This is not, you're wrong, sinner, you need to repent. No, it's shining Christ and his love. It's being that preserving. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Why? So that we can be Christ-like. Because that's how people come to know him. You've heard this before as well, I'm sure of it. A picture says or paints 1,000 words. You can say to somebody, your lifestyle is wrong. You need to change it. You need to repent. You need to come back to Jesus, someone who's fallen. Yes, true. But if you be that picture instead, as my story is, and I share often through our men's groups, knew Christ, was aware, God aware, fell horribly, tragically, my fault, my doings. But someone showed me Christ's love, and I saw it, and then I saw it in the Word. And like it says in the Beatitudes, number one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I was broken like Joseph was, broken before God, knowing who I was, who he was, and that only he could restore me. And now I look to shine that and be that salt. So we need to look for opportunities in our life to be that. And I'm not just talking about a good man or a good woman. We'll come to that in just one moment. To preserve and show Christ's love in everyday activities. I mean, with family, with friends, you know, in service in the church, in service in the community, in the workplace. We need to be different. I had this conversation with my own brother just recently, and he did point it out well. Be that person that then they go, what is it about you? Why are you so different? Another thing that we need to look at, and if we look at verse 14, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. It cannot be hidden. We need to be visible, but humble at the same time. And these times, cities, towns, villages, often put up on the hill. Many different reasons why. Perhaps defense and or trade would be the two most common. Defense, it's a strong position. Yes. Unshakable. Yes. But for trade, that people would come because there's the city. I'm going to take my wares. I'm going to go up there and trade with the people. A place of safety, a place of refuge. If you're running, I can see the city. It's up on the hill. Just got to get there. Close those doors behind me. I'll be safe. Similarly, we need to also shine and be that light, be the person who is, in a sense, lifted up, to be visible for our faith and our good deeds. Not for our own glory, though, but for Christ's. And this is where I draw the distinction between a good man and a good Christian. Understand this difference. I had a conversation with someone, actually before that. I remember some time ago, I posted on Facebook a scripture, a Bible verse. And a friend messaged me privately and said, oh, are you a Christian? I said, yes. They said, wow, I would have never known. Oof. That's not a good Christian. Perhaps a good man, though really, not yet, not at that time. I had a conversation with a friend of mine talking about family and who was following the Lord and who wasn't. And I said to them, oh, your brother, is he a Christian? And they were like, well, yes. Almost as if I'd offended them. And I went, look, I'm sorry, but I actually didn't know. He is a good man, no doubt. But I couldn't tell. I didn't know that he was a Christian. I really didn't. And I've met him many, many times. We need to be that light for the world. Now, here's the thing. In Jesus' ministry, always visible, always pointing to the Father. Let's have a look over in John chapter 8, verse 28. Now, this is a section, a passage of Scripture. He's talking about the Father. He's talking about his departure from this earthly world. And, of course, it says in verse 27, they didn't understand that he spoke about the Father. Verse 28, Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. That's God the Father. He has not left me alone. I always do those things that please him. Now, particularly for the Jewish people, it says here, verse 30, spoke these, many people believed in him. They understood God the Father. But for you now as a believer, you need to understand also God the Father. Jesus said, not my will, but yours. So what do we need to do? What do we need to say? The same thing. Not our will, but his. And this is where our good works need to shine him, not just us. We cannot just be good men. I look at that example, of course, Jesus talking about being lifted up on the cross, and we look up to him and we are forgiven and restored and adopted into the family through that faith. So it was for Moses in Numbers 21, the plague of the serpents, the snakes. Man, this one would have killed me. Me and snakes, not so good. But this plague and people were dying. And Moses held up on the staff the serpent, the brass serpent, saying, anyone who looks at this with faith, you've been bitten, you'll be healed. And it was a type, a shadow, a forecast of what was to come through Christ. That's literally all it was, showing faith for restoration. We need to be that person, that light on a hill, that people can see us and our faith also. Actively participating in church, in the community, without seeking, here's the key, personal glory. And I say that, and I hang my head, because for so many years, yet again, I did it wrong. I used to work in the theatre. It was all about me. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Again and again and again. That was it. Now, praise God, different. I do these. I pray, I hope you see that in me. Him, see him. Don't see me. Yes, I can speak well. So what? He made it possible. So we need to look at opportunities again in everyday life with family, with friends, in our workplace, in our communities, in our church, in areas of service where we can shine him. And let me just throw this out there. If you're serving in the community and you're showing Christ out there, praise God, it's a wonderful thing. But if you're not also serving in the community of the church, in God's family, I've got to say there's a question there. Why? And I just want you to maybe take a moment of reflection if that is the case for you and give some thought to that. God's family first. Please understand that. Yes, we need to show him out there. Absolutely. But God's family first. Because the people out there then come in and we've got to show them and continually show them that love. That is the key. The third point, we look at verses 15 and 16. Illuminating in the darkness. They don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. They put it on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Just as light dispels darkness, it guides our way, so we too are called to bring clarity and to bring truth into this world, which is so often dark, morally, spiritually. So this involves for us to be a beacon, a light, hope, truth, love, faith. We are to show these things. This is the difference between just being good people and having a reason for the hope. Oh, that one alone will bring people to you. I can promise you. And they will say, why are you so positive and hopeful? Because your hope is in Christ. And as Scripture says, we need to have a reason for the hope that is in us that we might share it with others. We need to lead by example in truthfulness and love in our workplaces. And there are plenty of opportunities to show this. Let me just make a note here. There are some people out there. It doesn't matter what you say. They're not going to change their point of view. Their mind was made up before they even spoke to you. But there are others out there who are looking. They're wondering why the world's gone so nuts. And the best example I can think of is the My Truth. Every person saying, this is the way it is for me. This is my reality. This is my reality. Doesn't matter if you're delusional, it's my reality. So we need to show Christ's reality. We need to show Him through us. This is the light on the hill, so that all in the house can see it, so that your light may shine before men, verse 16, they may see Christ in you and glorify your Father in heaven. So be honest in interactions that you have with people. Be loving, be caring, show mercy, be graceful. And when it is appropriate, yes, share your faith. Give a reason for that hope in you. I have this, citizen of heaven. I get questions about that, but my life has to match it. And as I said, we adopted into the family. Our manners must match it. We are to live a life that reflects Christ's wisdom, Christ's love, Christ's faithfulness, doing the Father's will, not our own. That's probably the biggest and best way that they can see Christ in us. And so as Christians, here's our takeaway. These are the notes. These are the things. If you take nothing else, jot these down. We are to be both salt and light. We are called to be it. Preserving, enhancing that which is good, showing and lighting that path for others that they would come along, being visible examples of Christ's love, that people can see us through our love and through our humility. Go back through the Beatitudes, you'll see and you'll learn about that. Is there a cost for it? Yes. But praise God, there's the glory that comes, our citizenship in heaven. Our lifestyle needs to reflect these things in all different ways. It's not passive. It's active. But it's not aggressive. It's just there. That's what I want you to take home. It's there. It's not in the face, but it is there. So here's my thought for you. What do we do with this? Well, depending on how it makes you feel, maybe each day, here's a good habit. Wrap up the day with a moment's reflection. How did we do today? Lord, did we do good? Well, you did. Did I? Sometimes you'll win. Sometimes you'll lose. Sometimes you'll do well. Sometimes you won't. That's okay. That's okay. His mercies are new every morning. Oh, boy. Lord, I'm sorry about this I did today. Kind of spoke a bit out of line. Sorry. Forgive me. Humbleness and humility, both before men and Him. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you. Looking forward to tomorrow. Hey, and if you need help, pray into it. That moment of reflection at the end of the day, before Christ in prayer, closing your eyes, just in humility, in humble awareness that you are his son, you are his daughter. He has adopted you into that family to make you this salt and light that people might see him in you. That's what I pray in Jesus' name. God bless you. Talk again soon. Bye-bye.